these drives, who's going to stop them? And that's what we're watching right now. My wife decides to go out and prune some vines over there. Why the hell do you have him pass blocking? That ain't his job. I am the master of the avocado. I know exactly what's 2 days away from being ready, what's 1 day away, and what's going to be overripe in about 3 hours. I have figured it out. A little hard is better than a little soft. There ain't nothing wrong with 4-1.
Fans, we are fired up. The sage is in the house. The king of Pasco County, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira. He's got 7 million names, but he's still the master of this podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. Ira is in the house, and all the fun on the Ira Kaufman podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com is the place to start any search for any vehicle. Bottom line, GM Sean Sullivan is ready for you. He's fired up to help you personally. He's freaking Leonard Fournette with the ball. That's how he wants to attack helping you out. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, so much coming out of that Bucks game. Dominant performance. You called it. You predicted it. You were looking for style points. You were looking for a blowout. You were calling for a blowout. You got the blowout, Ira. Interesting game. We read your column at JoeBucksFan.com. Now you've had some time to digest it. You've heard some coaches, some players. What do you have to say for yourself, young man?
I am absolutely blown away by the firepower on this team, the offense. No Gronkowski yesterday. We know what kind of weapon he is in the red zone. They don't miss him a bit. By the way, O.J. Howard... I'm over him, Lee. I'm over him. he's not coming back next year. Let's put it out there. He's not coming back.
Oh, you don't think so? Okay.
Let's not get mired down in O.J. Howard. The real story is that this is the best offense in football. As Steve said before the season, why can't they be number one in scoring offense? They had a hell of a scoring offense last year, and now it's better, Lee. Now it's 34 points a game. And in the last five home games, Lee, it's 39. Now, all right, there were a couple of defensive touchdowns by Mike Edwards, but you know what I mean. They are scoring a ton of points. And I'll tell you the unsung heroes, in my mind. A couple of craggy guys named Joe Gilbert and Harold Goodwin, they are doing a tremendous job with this offensive line. To be fair, they haven't had any injuries up front. They've been very, very fortunate in that unit. The five starters, you can't expect that. But they're playing at a great level. Yeah, Brady got hit a couple of times. What are you going to do, have zero hits for the other team? But Lee, how many times did you see Brady on Sunday afternoon having 4 seconds, 5 seconds? Some of it was ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, he had time, and Donovan Smith was absolutely mauling people. I don't think I've ever seen Donovan Smith that dominant. I mean, he was just, he was an animal, and I say that in all respect and positivity. He was destroying people, and I thought Arians had the line of the year about the offense when he was asked about Antonio Brown being a number three receiver. That ain't a fair fight.
And that's a great one.
And here Xavier Howard is supposed to be such a good cornerback, and I'm not saying he's not. And Antonio Brown took him to school, ran rings around him yesterday.
Absolutely right. And Steve on the other side of the line, I love to watch Wirfs. I watch him a lot. And just like Donovan Smith, he's obliterating people. I mean, he's riding them way outside the pocket. They're no factor. There's no outside pressure. Here come the Eagles. You know, their defense is decent. But Miami's defense is supposed to be also decent, Steve. And they had no answers. The O-line is playing very well, Steve. And now they're opening up a lot of holes on the run game.
Yeah, some of the blocking on the edges there. It's not, Wirfs is holding his guy 4 seconds. It's Wirfs could hold his guy for 7, 8, 9 seconds if that's what it takes. Donovan Smith was doing some of that, too. It was a really, really dominant performance by those guys. And Brady's got to be loving life. Ira, I wrote a story earlier this morning, basically right now, even if it were a 16-game schedule, but we know it's 17, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin are all on pace for 1,000-plus yards, which would put them in very select company. The Hall of Fame has a page dedicated to the five teams that have had 3,000-yard pass catchers, and two of those teams, Ira, they were not wide receivers. In the all three wide receivers, you had Kellen Winslow in there from 1980,
right.
Eric Metcalf. Right. But it's a very unique situation happening here. The Bucs are probably going to hit that mark if nobody gets injured. And like Lee said, it's just not a fair fight. It's kind of like you, that time you were Jell-O wrestling with Greg Allman. You kicked his ass. You had all the leverage, and you just pulverized the poor guy. It's the same kind of thing, Ira. Right now, no defensive coordinator can really legitimately prepare for the Bucs. They're just sort of hoping for miracles, and they're not getting them.
And, Lee, you know, what seemed like heresy a couple of months ago, a couple of our listeners and readers were suggesting that Antonio Brown is the best receiver on the Bucs, and, you know, we kind of scoffed at that. Well, he has to prove it. He hasn't put those numbers up since 2019 or 18. Lee, that's not far-fetched now. He looks great. He's animated. He doesn't look like he's going to be a problem. We thought he might be a problem. He's happy. He's feeding. They're feeding him. We know what Evans and Godwin can do. We haven't seen much from Scotty Miller or Tyler Johnson. And who missed Gronkowski on Sunday? They didn't. Lee, Antonio Brown looks sensational.
Oh, yeah. He looks like he's back with the Steelers and almost in his prime. This is a quarterback's dream, what Brady is throwing to. And, you know, you pointed out, Ira, that, you know, Gronkowski's on his shelf. And you know what? The way the schedule, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here, the way the schedule plays out, Mike Sando of The Athletic had ranked the top quarterback schedules from 1 to 32 for the next 5 weeks, like what teams will face the biggest gauntlet of quarterbacks. The Bucs face the worst collection of NFL quarterbacks.
I agree with Sando.
The only quarterback that's playing decent of the next 5 weeks is Jameis. He's not putting up numbers like he did with Arians, but yeah, they're decent numbers, and he's the best one. Yeah, you know, Taylor Heineke, Andy Dalton, or Justin Fields. You know, it's a bunch of schlock the next few weeks outside of possibly Jameis. If I'm the Bucs, I tell Gronk, like, dude, have a nice next couple weeks. Levante David, whatever his ankle is, whether it's high, low, medium, in between, I don't care. Levante, have a few weeks off. You know, go back to Miami for a while, whatever. I don't want to take anything for granted, but guys like Gronk and Levante, like, okay, we'll handle things. We're playing a bunch of stiff quarterbacks. Take it easy. Relax.
Excellent points, Lee. Steve, are we really going to be afraid of the Eagles and the Bears? The Bills are on the horizon. That game's in December. By then, you know, who knows? I mean, the Bucs could be 8-1 or whatever. The timing, if you're going to have some of these injuries, and they have some, including Carlton Davis, too, the timing seems fortuitous right now, playing this rather pedestrian gauntlet.
Absolutely, because it really doesn't matter who you're playing in a lot of ways, because for two reasons. One, I can't buy into Sando's logic for the, and not that he's wrong, but every quarterback facing the Bucs is having an excellent game right now for their ability level. So it doesn't really matter who they're facing, in the sense that if the offense is going to keep putting up points at will and stay in this rhythm that they've been in for a couple of games, being able to do it in different ways, it shouldn't matter. They should be able to ring up 30, and if the defense has, okay. And I'm more worried about the receivers they're facing than the quarterbacks, because our defensive backs are miserable in a lot of ways. So it's just an exciting time, because if they cruise through the next three games, which is the Eagles and the Bears and New Orleans, they're sitting at 7-1 at the bye. And like Lee said, they could be incredibly healthy at that point. Just the right time again, you know, and it would be just a stunning display, Ira. And I was doing some research and thinking about some things today. The bottom line is, if they do run it to the bye week, there'd be a 16-game window there from bye week to bye week, 16 games where they'd be 15-1. And that speaks so much to the depth on this roster and the quality of the talent that's been built when you can run 15-1. And hopefully they can do it.
Great point, Steve. And Lee, here's another subtle aspect of what's going on with this offense. Lee, they've cleaned up a lot of stuff, particularly from week one, two areas. Penalties and giveaways. Lee, they've gone three games without committing a turnover. Three. Look, they're not playing the best defenses in the world, but, the Rams ostensibly have a good defense. Miami's defense is supposed to be decent. Three games without giveaways. Penalties are not a huge problem. And Lee, we've said it before. If they don't beat themselves on these drives, who's going to stop them? And that's what we're watching right now.
Hard to believe the Bucs forever have been known as defense. Everyone's thought they had a decent offense, but and I'm not saying the defense is horrible. They're not playing great right now, at least the pass defense. But a couple of years ago, someone told us Tom Brady would be coaching the Bucs, and the Bucs would be the highest scoring team in the NFL. We don't want to know what the guy's smoking.
Absolutely. Steve, we'd be remiss if we don't at least mention this nagging, niggling issue, which really could have been a problem yesterday if they hadn't blitzed them 21-0 in the fourth quarter. Steve, the short passes, the flare passes, the running backs catching balls. I mean, it's a problem. Broken coverages. I mean, nobody within a mile of Gaskins on one of his touchdown catches. They're really struggling in the flats, Steve. Really struggling in the flats. And teams are they're attacking them there.
Well, Sage, Lee said we wonder what people would say, ask about what they were smoking if we had talked about this being a scenario a couple of years ago. The better question is what they would be drinking, and we know that's what you will be doing Thursday night at Big Storm Brewery, hanging out with fans, Bucks, Eagles, Big Storm Clearwater. Sage watches every road game there. He stuffs his face with a Reuben, a Cuban, fantastic tropical salad. Check out the menu at BigStormBrewery.com. You can eat there any day. They have great tap rooms in Odessa, Cape Coral, Orlando. But the Sage will be hanging out there, drinking, watching the Eagles. If you're not going, you can get Big Storm. Send us a picture on Twitter. We'll share it at JoeBucksFan or at iKaufman76. We love doing that. Big Storm Beer, best beer in town. Florida's best craft beer. BigStormBrewery.com. Ira, you've sort of set me up for a subject that seems to set a lot of people into a tither here, but I just can't pretend that Richard Sherman isn't a problem out there. And what people expect of him is one thing, but if you go back and watch the game, Ira, watch the tape, the all 22, whatever you want to watch of it, they open the game, first play, Dolphins, they throw a ball out in the flat, and Richard Sherman misses a tackle. And then a few plays later, they throw it to the mighty Preston Williams, that great legendary receiver of the Dolphins. Richard Sherman's giving him an 8-yard cushion on 2nd-and-1. The guy catches the ball, runs past him like it's a Three Stooges episode, like he's not even there. And it goes on. And at the end of the half, Shaq Barrett's strip sack bailed out Richard Sherman from two whiffs on the tackles. I'm not even going to get to the second half. So it's a problem. Jamel Dean had some issues early. Cockrell's actually playing well. Dean tightened up a little bit. But it's a combination of just the way Bowles is having him play and the lack of talent. And Devin White, I was watching him quite a bit. And, sometimes when he gets in that zone and he's reading the tight end off the line of scrimmage, he's a little slow to react, or he just doesn't feel that comfortable when he's not coming after the quarterback and when he's not playing the run first. And that's, he's got to get past that just because no one's going to run on the Bucks and it might get even worse.
He's got to step it up, Lee. He's got to step it up. And I don't care what it says on a post-game stat sheet that he had nine tackles or whatever. Lee, you like to talk about impact plays. I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it. He was famous for that down the stretch last year. You said he was their best player in the postseason. I don't think you're wrong. And we're not seeing it. But, Lee, generally speaking, They're taking bad angles to the ball. After the guy catches the ball, they're giving up a lot of yards after the catch. I think they're leading the league. And you don't want to be number one in that category, Lee. I think they're number one in yards after catch, and I don't mean on offense. That's got to be driving balls crazy, Lee.
You know, I just thought of this, literally just thought of this as you were speaking, Ira, and I don't know if it's true. Could it be possibly the reason why White isn't as dominant as he was in the postseason last year? Is they're trying to compensate for having guys off the street playing cornerback?
Maybe, Lee. Steve, the problem's not going to get any better with maybe their surest tackler, 54, Lavonnie David, not playing. Steve, that doesn't help the situation.
No, and we'll touch on David's injury, but to finish up on Devin White, you know, if any of us were told or said before the season that Devin White through five games would have no picks, no forced fumbles, one pass defense, and nobody's running against the Bucs, and he's got no sacks, we would be like, you got to be kidding me. He must be hurt. Something must be wrong. So he's not the problem out there by any stretch of the imagination, and he's an excellent player, but he's just not delivering what fans got really salivating for, thinking of, hey, man, this is the next superstar linebacker coming down the line. So hopefully it'll turn around for him. But he was on Patrick Peterson's podcast. I forget the name right now. It was a very interesting interview last week, and he admitted that he hears that the fans think they think I've gone ghost out there. And he said it all comes back to teams not running, and that's where he really makes his plays in the running game. You know, he said he's working on it. Look, obviously it's up to Bowles to get the most out of your best players, and the Bucs haven't let up a lot of points the last two games, so we're nitpicking in some ways, but we see what's happening on the field. David's ankle injury, Ira, a lot of confusion. Bruce Arians said it was high ankle sprain after the game. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network reported it was a low ankle sprain, which is much less serious. And then this afternoon, Arians said it's a high ankle sprain, but not a lot of swelling. So I don't know what to believe, Ira.
Lee, a high ankle sprain is a serious injury. It's a serious injury.
Oh, yeah.
4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. That's a serious injury. You know, I want Arians to get his facts straight. I hope Arians is wrong, and I hope it's a lower ankle, and, you know, maybe he can be back in 2 or 3 weeks. We shall see. I got to say this because I've been slapping around Shaq Barrett a couple of weeks ago. He's playing better. He's playing better. I'm noticing him more. He had a strip forced fumble that was overturned. That was a bad call, and so he would have had that as another impact play. He's coming around a little bit.
Oh, yeah, he is, and that's good to see because they need it because, you know, JPP's not 100%. Not just his shoulder, but apparently he now, I don't know how to decipher what JPP says. Sometimes JPP is saying just, sometimes I need subtitles with JPP. So he's kind of Simeon Rice. What are you talking about here, man? But JPP said his fingers broke in two spots. And I don't know if he meant to say that his fingers got like complete bone, like he's basically got two finger bones now, or if it's two breaks in his finger. I don't know what he meant by that. But he obviously is not 100%. He's dealing with the shoulder on top of the finger. The warrior that he is, Bucks coaches are leaving it up to him, I'm sure, even though he's not 100%. They're like, you know, JBB says you can play, you don't argue with the guy. And I don't think Joe Tryon is yet dependable to be a starter. So it's really, really good timing to see Shaq step it up.
Steve, taking a step back, big picture. There ain't nothing wrong with 4-1, Steve. I mean, they were 3-1 last year, and I believe they went to Chicago and played poorly, and Brady forgot how many downs there were, and they lost the game. And Lee, I don't think they've been 4-1 since maybe 05. That was the Cadillac Williams. That's a long time ago. So, you know, they lost to the Rams. Steve, no shame in that. On the road, outplayed. Deserve to lose, but they're 4-1, Steve, so big scheme of things, they're right where they need to be.
Correct, Ira. I looked that up after the game yesterday. 2005 was the last time, so if it feels weird, if it feels odd to have the Bucks be 4-1, it should, because it doesn't happen very often. Just to bail Lee out a little bit, Mike Evans did an interview a little bit earlier this year on the Buccaneers Radio Network, and he was asked about who gives – the best pregame talks and speeches and things like that. And Evans basically said, well, he mentioned JPP, and he said, even though I don't really understand what he's saying, he gets everybody fired up, and I love it. So Evans acknowledged on radio that he doesn't really know what JPP is talking about all the time. So just wanted to throw that out there. The situation now, the Buccaneers are alone in first place, speaks to just a new way of approaching fandom here, because last year, nobody even really could say that they expected something from the Bucs early on, because you just didn't know. And they opened up 7-5 and, you know, things were a little bit off. But now, coming off a Super Bowl, this is brand new territory, because we know what happened to the 2003 Bucs. So I think it's fair to say the Super Bowl hangover is completely over. Not that anybody really expected it with Brady. But do you think this team has everything it takes, Ira, to march on and just take care of business, even if it's not right? Does this feel like very Patriots-like of this team right now?
Lee, I know it's simplistic, but I'm not sure you're going to disagree, Mr. DeKemper. I think it comes down to the pass rush. What other questions do you have? Nobody runs on this team. They don't even try. I mean, ask Belichick, -1 yard, right? Which was a franchise record for the Bucs. Fewest rushing yards allowed. Nobody runs on this team, Lee. The offense is outstanding. They're not turning the ball over. They're not committing penalties. If the pass rush isn't there, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. I don't care if Carlton Davis comes back and Sean Murphy Bunny comes back, Lee. I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is making the quarterback uncomfortable. And if they do that, a la Patrick Mahomes, this team is going to be tough to beat. Lee, there's no reason they shouldn't win this division. They took the hard road last year. Lee, they fell behind the Saints from week 1, and they were behind the Saints. And they never caught them. And the Saints pulled away, and the Bucs took the hard road. And, Lee, you can't expect to do that every year. I mean, that's really making it hard on yourself. You're playing an extra game. You're playing 3 weeks on the road. That's no formula for success. So give them so much credit for what they did last year, but they don't want to have to go through that. And let's be honest, Atlanta is not any good. Carolina's come back to earth with a terrible loss for Carolina yesterday to Philadelphia. I mean, they're winning the whole freaking game. That's a terrible loss. New Orleans, I said they were a 500 team. I think they're 9-8. Maybe they're 10-7, but Lee, the Bucs are better. The Bucs are better, so I don't see any reason why they won't win this division by a couple of games.
They should. I'm not ready to crown them yet. Isn't that an old Dennis Green line?
Right.
You're going to crown them? I'm not really crown the Bucs yet, because I respect Carolina and New Orleans so much. Carolina, on the roster, they should be a 9-win team, maybe. But you know what? They have that beautiful equalizer. They got the best pass rush in the league. So that right there ought to be concerning, especially, I know Brady is his newfound mobility, but he's still 44. So Carolina, I respect, even though Darnold, like you suggested, I read Darnold's coming back down earth a little bit. And the Saints are loaded. Forget who's quarterback. I still think James is light years better than Taysom Hill. I think Taysom Hill is garbage. He's a wing T quarterback. He's a wishbone quarterback. And I pray that Sean Payton gets drunk or hungover or whatever, decides to play Taysom Hill against the Bucs. I pray, because they'll eat him alive, the Bucs run defense. I think Taysom Hill's a joke. But forget the quarterback. That's a talented team. I don't take those two teams lightly. But the Falcons, ugh.
I'm just a little bit scared of that Panthers pass rush. If there's still a division fight at the end of the season, the Bucs have them in weeks 16 and 18, and I don't want to see Tom Brady get smacked around. I'd rather have him in a position where he doesn't have to play or put himself at risk against the Panthers late. So hopefully the Bucs can keep marching on there. But Ira, I need your help. I need your wisdom on some coach speak that I don't necessarily understand, and I do have a bit of news to share that also needs a little bit of your interpretation. So thank you, Sage, for all the ways that you help Bucs fans and me get through the day and get through the week. And of course, you can listen to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, subscribe. You get a nice free alert, Podcast Addict, all those nice places. And we've got our great podcast family at joebucksfan.com. The Scuttlebucks are twice a week. Bucks Kickoff with Rock Riley before each game. Bobby Fenton and the Free Stretch. Todd Wright's Fantasy Football Podcast. And of course, Best in Class with Sean Sullivan. Bill Curry, Ford General Manager, also our joebucksfan.com draft guru. And he's dying to help you with any sort of vehicle situation. Or you can just call Sean and ask him about who's coming out of Vanderbilt this year. And he'll talk to you about that as well. And Sage, got to let everybody know that it's October. You may be exhaling that you got past hurricane season, but damage to your home happens year-round. Fire, floods, pipes break, all kinds of things happen. We're still in hurricane season. Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. They're available for homeowners 24/7 all across the Tampa Bay area. They're a local company. We know them. Sage hangs out with Josh Martin, the owner, who's got 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster. So he knows all the sides of the game and is going to make sure you don't get ripped off. And he makes sure that Ira gets all his BOGOs at Publix up there in Pasco County. Ira, I know you're always looking for help with that. But in all seriousness, Sage, Florida's Elite Restoration, they work with contractors, air conditioning repair folks, plumbers to help customers. Josh welcomes phone calls from any business owners, property managers who are looking to work with an honest company that's not going to rip you off and is really just looking to help people and continue what they've been doing in the Bay Area for years. So give them a call, floridaselite-restoration.com, Ira. And I have to ask, because when I called you earlier, Ira, you were cooking, and that made me think of Josh Martin. I know you guys are always sharing cooking tips at Publix, but how did it go tonight, Ira? How did it go? I know you were in the chef mode tonight.
I had my apron on, Lee, and I'm glad Kemper wasn't around, because the Kemper loves to take pictures of me when I'm not looking and post them on Twitter, and all Javier has to see is me with an apron on. The captions would fly. But Lee, I always make the salad. I mean, that's my contribution, and it's a hell of a salad. I throw a lot of stuff in there, but tonight I did it all, Lee. Did it all. Bought the stir fry beef, the sauce from P.F. Chang's, noodles. I had vegetable stir fry. I chopped up some mushrooms, Lee. I threw it all together into a skillet. I started the skillet at about 6:05. My wife decides to go out and prune some vines over there at 6:02. And by 6:15, I said, it's ready. And she almost dropped her shears. She couldn't believe it was ready that fast. I was so proud of this meal. Lee, we sat down. I scooped it out for her, presented it to her on a nice colorful plate. We took about four bites, and then I asked the million-dollar question. So, how is it? What do you think the response was, Lee? What do you think the response was?
Probably what you say on recording to Chris Russo when you had steak at his house. A little tough.
She said, quote, not bad. Not bad. Not bad. That's like an 82. Steve, that ain't great.
This whole story, Ira, really opens up a lot of questions for me. I've got a lot. I got a lot of questions. First, when you were talking about firing up the skillet and you in the kitchen at high temperatures, I was thinking house fire. I was thinking Florida's Elite Restoration immediately on the phone there. But thankfully, that wasn't the case. But Ira, you said you throw all kinds of things in the salad. What does the Sage throw in the salad? What are you doing? Beets?
You better sit down, gentlemen. No beets. You start with the lettuce. You get a nice layer at the bottom. Nice little foundations. Like Gruden says, you build a nice house. You got to keep laying the bricks. You put the lettuce in. You got to have olives. You got to have, romaine or Italian. You got to have olives, croutons. Chop up a little green pepper, a little onion, mushroom. You throw some three bean salad in there from Green Giant, $1.59, aisle number 7.
Ugh.
And then a little tomato, and then to top it off, a little avocado. Now, gentlemen, I am the master of the avocado. I know exactly what's 2 days away from being ready, what's 1 day away, and what's going to be overripe in about 3 hours. I have figured it out. A little hard is better than a little soft. Take that any way you want. Bits, I know the way your mind works. You top it off with that avocado, and then, of course, you put the dressing. She likes ranch. I don't like ranch. So, you know, I'm going with the vinaigrette and a little pepper on the top. And voila, you are ready to dive in. I still can't get over that not bad, Lee. That's not a glowing endorsement, the Kemper.
You almost make salad sound desirable. I've done this before. When I, you know, tried to lose weight and I want to eat a salad, in theory, I'd go to make a salad, I'd open up the refrigerator, and I'd stare at the damn lettuce and stare at the damn lettuce and stare at the damn lettuce and decide I'm better off hungry. And I'd shut the door and go watch football. I just can't get in the salad, man.
Now, Steve, speaking of salad, the Big Storm salad, it's outstanding, Steve. I've had it a bunch of times. Sometimes I add a little shrimp. Sometimes you add a little chicken. They got a great dressing on it. That tropical salad from Big Storm, it's outstanding, Steve.
It definitely deserves an A. And after what you were talking about throwing in your salad, I got to give that a not bad. But geez, I don't know if I want that. But that's another story, Ira. Maybe you'll have to make me a salad. Sage, here's what I need to know from you on the Bucks. You threw O.J. Howard under the bus to start this podcast. I didn't forget. I made a note on my trusty pad here. And watching the game, O.J. Howard pass blocking leaves a lot to be desired. He was taking over some of that Gronk role, and it wasn't pretty. He did allow a sack, and it just didn't look good. He was better on the run blocking, and he did catch two first down throws in that game, and Bruce Arians threw a lot of love at him, even though he got Tom Brady hit. So I ask you this. So he gets the love from Arians, and then Arians is asked about your guy, Giovanni Bernard. How, you know, he came coming back from an injury, coming back from a knee issue, whatever, and he caught the first touchdown pass, which is actually a meaningful play in the game, even though it was a blowout. And Arians doesn't mention the touchdown grab, doesn't mention the injury. He says he was pleased with him at the end in garbage time, but he didn't like when he got run over on his pass protection, and that'll, quote, cost him his job if he can't pass protect on third down. So O.J. Howard lets up a sack. Hey, we love O.J. Giovanni Bernard lets up a sack. This guy might be out of a job. Can you translate what's going on here?
I got a perfect translation, and I'm going to say it before DeKemper, because I know what Lee's thinking, and I'm right there with Lee. Lee, this is a simple one. Why the hell do you have him pass blocking? That ain't his job. He's got one job. Go in the flat. Catch a six-yarder, make a first down, catch a touchdown once in a while. Who the hell wants him pass blocking, Lee? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. What the hell are you using him for to block? He doesn't do it well. Lee, I thought it's all about you got to put the guy in a position to succeed. You're playing to the guy's strengths. Lee, you're going to pick on little Giovanni Bernard for not being a pass blocker? That's not his job.
Sounds like a motivational tactic, but you're absolutely right, Ira. You don't put a guy in a position to fail. You put him in a position to succeed. He's obviously not a great pass blocker. He's obviously a good pass catcher for short passes, screen passes, in the flat, what have you, maybe over the middle. That's how you use him. And my argument has always been, and I know that you want a running back to block because you can keep him on the field. I get that, but my argument has always been for years, you know, and I go nuts when I hear Michael Lombardi say this. That the first job of a running back is not to run the ball, it's to block. And my argument is, if that's the case, what are you farting around for? Put a backup guard in at running back. If that is the case, as Michael Lombardi claims, the number one job of a running back is not to run the ball, but to block, then what are you doing putting a running back in there? You put a guard in there.
That's why Lombardi's not working for an organization, Lee. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Tell me where I'm wrong, and I know you will. Nobody, Steve, on the Buck Rock has a more narrowly defined job than Giovanni Bernard, Steven. He only goes in on the third down. He's got one job. Go out in the flat and give Brady another option and make defenses put a guy on you, you know, and they have to respect you. He's not there to pass block. Steve, what am I missing here?
Well, Ira, you're not missing anything, but I have to say this. Every third down back in the league has to be able to block once in a while, pick up a blitz, and that's just the nature of the job. I think what was a little disturbing here is that Bernard was exactly where he was supposed to be. He picked up the blitz just fine, picked up the rusher, but the guy just mowed him over. It's one thing like Rojo who, oh, I forgot to step over and block the guy, or oh, I didn't know where to be. Bernard was right in the right position and just got mauled like he was a toddler playing with a high schooler. And so maybe that part, maybe that scared Arians a little bit, but I agree with you. I mean, that's not why they signed him, for his pass blocking. And he's had a couple of issues with this going back to preseason. So Arians was sending a message, but I had to hear your thoughts there, Ira. But we're getting ready to get out of here. And I got one piece of news for you, Ira, but I want to remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford, 61 years, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, family owned, a mile north of the stadium. It's just quality across the board. And that starts with the Curry family and general manager Sean Sullivan, who wants to help you. Big Storm Beer, best beer in town, Florida's best craft beer. Hang with the Sage Thursday night at Big Storm Brewery. Beautiful covered area indoors, great food as we talked about, bigstormbrewery.com. And your first call, Florida's Elite Restoration. Don't get screwed when you have a disaster in your home. They'll give you a free assessment. Free assessment. They'll come out to your home. It's no joke. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, Tom Brady was on his podcast.
Hold on, Steve. Before you're nugget, I want to throw this out to amplify my point. And I'm not trying to pick on the guy, Lee. I'm not. But O.J. Howard, Lee, he's just a guy. He's just a guy. He's not a first-round pick. He's just not. His contract's up. And Lee, there's no reason to think he's going to turn it on in the next 13 weeks and be a central player. It looks like he's playing out the string with the Bucks, Lee. That's just the way it looks.
I got to be fair with Howard, and I'm not saying you're wrong. Your gripes about Howard are apropos. He doesn't look like the same player, and I don't know. I'm willing to give the guy the benefit of the doubt that maybe he's not 100% from his Achilles injury. That's a major injury. A lot of people try to poo-poo that. We're talking about major injuries earlier. That's a major injury, and maybe he's just not 100% back from that. Okay, fine. He clearly was at his best when Cutter was the coach, but guess what? Cutter's not a coach anymore. You got to adjust. And still a lot of fans that comment on JoeBucksFan.com are adamant. Bucks have the great Howard. Bucks have the great Howard. What starter do the Bucks have to throw into a trade so someone would take O.J. Howard off their hands? He's expensive. He's the last year of his contract. He's probably not one of the top 40 tight ends in the NFL. Just what you have to do to sweeten the pot for someone to take him off the Bucks' hand. He's untradeable, people. I don't know why there are people out there that keep beating the drum, got to trade Howard. He's untradeable. He's not going anywhere. And if the Bucks want to get rid of him in a few months, then they have that opportunity because his contract expires. My guess off the top of my head that the Bucks keep him because they're going to get a hell of a bargain.
Absolutely. O.J. Howard doesn't have the value, but that could be a lot different after Thanksgiving if he gets healthier and they use him more. But right now, Ira, you're right. He is just a guy with a fancy name on the back of his jersey. That was one that people know very well, just like a certain cornerback who I talked about earlier. Nobody would be surprised if he had Biggers on the back of his jersey. It would all blend right in. All right. So, Sage, real quick, Tom Brady was on his podcast tonight, Let's Go, that airs on SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio, where you appear Wednesdays at 5 p.m., with Chris Mad Dog Russo. But Brady said he doesn't like to talk about his thumb or any injuries because, quote, it doesn't help the healing energy of his injury. But he said that he's had four major hand injuries in his career, talked about them a little bit. And he said, this one is, quote, a little bit sore, but nothing I'm not used to. And he really downplayed it in relatively speaking to the other injuries he's had. In 30 seconds, Ira, tell me why we all shouldn't worry about this.
I am not worried at the moment because it's Tom Brady. Lee, he just doesn't miss games. Now, you get a torn ACL like he had, there's nothing you can do about it. But Lee, I'll say this. There's always a chance that it could be injured further, starting with Thursday night in Philly, and that's a problem. But if it's the way it is right now, and he doesn't suffer another blow in that area, I'm not worried about him. But it sets it up for a possible more serious injury down the line. Should he absorb a blow to that area?
All right, Ira, we'll talk about it more on the next podcast, Sage. We've got another one coming up before the Eagles game. So thanks for listening, and we'll pick it up next time.